You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul. It's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, Jennifer and Rosa.
Hi, hello.
Hey, Rosa. So guys, it was Chuseok.
Yes.
Yes, and what were your gifts?
I got the spam set.
Okay.
It was awesome.
You did get a spam set.
I did. I had a quick peek when I got it, and I think it was 4 cans of spam, cans of tuna, and 2 1-liter bottles of cooking oil.
Oh, okay. Olive oil?
Sesame oil.
No. What do you
mean? Olive oil?
No.
No, grape oil?
Soy oil.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I got a cash bonus from the school.
Whoa.
Which was awesome.
Party dollars.
A
okay.
Cash bonus.
Nice. All right.
And I got a box gift set of kiwis. From a parent.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Want to trade for some spam?
Yeah, not so much.
Wow.
I will say the spam was actually spam.
Oh, not the Korean generic.
Because some spam sets actually don't even go the full distance of having actual spam.
All
they
right.
have knockoff spam.
Wow. We got money 1 year, but only 1 year. One of my friends, Korean woman, and she... her Western boyfriend. It was her birthday. And I'm like, well, what did your boyfriend get you for your birthday? And she's like, oh, he gave me money.
And I'm like, romantic.
Yeah, I know.
Very.
I know. I'm like, that's a little weird, money. And she's like, I like money.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah. But,
I like money, too, but not as a gift
from
my loved one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this year, actually, the gift wasn't so bad. Was a big box of frozen cow beef.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
that
okay.
That is really good.
Yeah. But it's kind of... No, sorry, not kalbi. No, some gyeopsal.
Well, it's a box
but
of meat.
Still, it's a box of meat.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a pretty pricey gift. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the samgyeopsal is kind of... It's tasteless and fatty, you know? It's like not... I don't know.
You know what? On your gift that you got at work, it just adds ammunition to my theory that it's a big conspiracy that while I was there... we didn't get anything, and the Korean American is gone.
Except that we always had Korean Americans before.
But
so it's just you.
Me.
It's
a conspiracy against me.
Oh man! So Jennifer, you had a party, a lunch party.
I did, and neither one of you showed up.
I know. I'm sorry.
I had bird flu.
Yeah. Okay.
You had bird flu.
The bird. I don't feel like putting on real clothes and taking the bus to Pundong. Flu.
Yeah. So how was your little lunch?
It was good. It was just because it was just you two and the two new teachers. So they just came.
Oh,
so
okay.
Both of them did make it to Korea.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And so they came and I made.
Are they a married couple?
Oh no. They don't even know each other. Or they know each other now.
Oh okay.
Did Brian?
They were
make
both
it?
Just friends of. No, because his cousins are in town that he hadn't seen in like 10 years. Yeah.
They're gonna adopt a baby.
So they did. They got the baby.
Oh,
like,
they did.
Yeah.
Oh okay.
Anyway, so I made crab and shrimp and sausage gumbo.
It did sound very good.
And pumpkin pie. And various and sundry other side dishes.
You're just trying to torture me.
I am. Y'all,
maybe I should have put on real clothes and got on the bus.
Indeed.
God. And Rosa, you left.
I went to Hong Kong.
Okay.
And the whole country apparently left.
Yes. Yeah. How did you score airline tickets out of this country?
Yeah.
I purchased my airline tickets way too late.
Okay.
So I was on a waiting list for a week.
Oh. Okay.
And then I, you know, got off the waiting list, got the ticket, but I paid way too much.
Okay.
All my own.
For 2 days, no, two nights, 3 days, airfare and hotel.
Okay.
I paid $90,000.
$900.
So $900, basically.
Right. Yeah. Hong Kong is not that far from Korea.
Wow.
It's not like flying from Toronto.
Yeah, I got, Steve and I got a 5-day package for two for just over $1 million.
Yeah. So I paid like way more than double, triple.
Yeah. So head.
But it was well worth it.
Heads up, listeners. Chuseok is like the 3-day holiday, and if especially it falls on like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, it makes a huge long weekend. The one thing people here will plan in advance for, surprisingly, is like Chuseok airline tickets. Yeah, so you got it like a couple months.
Plan ahead.
Except though, in Korea, they don't do like America. Like you can't book a flight like 6 months in advance.
Oh, really? How?
No, that's what I thought too. This whole time while we were looking for flights and stuff, but I'm looking for plane tickets to go home for Christmas. And if I purchase and pay for it by like October 9th or 10th, really soon, then it's like half off.
Oh, wow.
I found tickets for Korean Air for like $700.
Round trip?
Round trip, but I'm flying in December. I have to pay for it now.
Yeah. Shoot, that's worth it, because that'll be
half off.
At least half off.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year when I went home in December, it was like $2 million.
Yeah, I paid like $1,600.
That was like the early part of the millennium, you know, 2000, 2001, you could get air, you know, round trips, you know, from the West Coast, like 700, 800. Yeah. If you're paying like 900, you know, all your Korean friends are like, you're being ripped off, man.
Right.
You're totally being ripped off, you know, because they live and die by the price of the round trip air ticket to Korea. You know, it's always like, how much this week?
Yeah. But anyways, I went to Hong Kong.
Okay, good.
It was
good.
Well worth it.
Yeah. And I always say if a space alien came down and tried to figure out what this Chuseok holiday is about, they would conclude that it's just about Koreans worshiping their transportation systems.
Yeah,
they go to the airport, the train station,
yeah, bus station,
pay their respects.
Yeah,
and
go sit in traffic on the highway.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it's trying to identify the infertile women. So the very young and the very old, and they put them in hanboks.
Yeah.
And then the fertile middle, they don't wear the hanboks.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Because they dress themselves.
Yeah. But it was 5 days. It was nice. Rained a lot.
It did.
Yeah,
it rained a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Like the rainy season just will not end this year.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm going crazy.
Well, even today.
Well, it was raining when I left home.
Oh, yeah.
I think the actual day was all right. The day before,
the Monday, because we, you know, got the newbies, and they like while I wanted to just sort of hibernate at home for 5 days, I feel kind of bad because they don't know anybody or anything.
Yeah.
So I took them on a little palace trawl, you know. So we went to like three or four palaces. We went to the big temple and Insadong.
All right.
You know, just had a little, made a day of it.
Okay, but it's like good first impression of Korea, but that's not like life all the time, you know.
Yeah.
People are all dressed up and celebrating, and
Seoul was really dead this week.
Yeah, I think because it was a 5-day when people actually went.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that much traffic in town. Not that much people on the streets.
Subways aren't really busy and stuff, but they are much busier now than they have been in years past. The subways, you know.
Yeah, but it seemed like ever since I moved up here.
Okay.
Like, so for the past maybe 4 or 5 years, it seems like every year fewer and fewer people are leaving to go back to their hometowns.
Yeah.
You know, so this year, I think because it was a 5-day one, people actually went.
Okay, right, yeah. But people are definitely hanging around the city more. Just because because old people in the countryside are dying off. And the new...
So sad.
Yeah, well, you know, the new sets of grandparents are either... You know, they're living their lives in the city, or else they're moving into the city with their children.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Yeah. All right. Snack of the week. We actually kind of got two snacks, but the one snack is like donuts.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, Nongshim. Is this Nongshim? Nongshim. Yeah, Nongshim.
Yes.
They make the Seu crackers, the shrimp crackers.
Well, if they make the shrimp sticks, then you know they're good.
Shrimp Cheetos, and that was a snack of the week like almost a year ago. But
you know, shrimp sticks are kind of good if you go to a bar before you've had dinner.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
if
yes.
you go, like, straight from school to the bar, right. and so it's been, like, 10 hours since you had lunch, then shrimp sticks, actually, the handful or two that you can get down, they're pretty tasty.
But are you ever hungry enough to eat the little dried fish with the heads and eyes still on it, mixed in with the nuts?
I don't eat BLT.
All right.
Nor do I eat the styrofoam things that they pass off as
the styrofoam things are fine.
Not because they taste good, but they're just there, and I can't just
The little ring things?
The little ring
yeah.
things.
Yeah,
and
all right.
They're so bad for you.
I was thinking about bringing those in
because they're styrofoam.
I was thinking about bringing those in as a snack of the week, but maybe.
Where could you buy them? Do you just go to a bar and take a zip
on the
bag?
Street. On the street. On the street, yeah.
Oh, that makes it even better. Something bought, like, next to traffic.
I think these are actually coconut flavored.
Well, it says donut, and then it says kokam. Right? Kokam is... What I know it to be is the dried persimmons. Is what kokam is. But I don't understand how it's donut kokam, so shall
that
find
would
out.
Make it super interesting. Persimmon-flavored
donuts. They look like little sun-dried donuts. Sort of chocolate.
It's definitely coconut on the outside, the white little flecks.
All right. Kind of...
Actually, this tastes like something that would be a breakfast cereal in America. With
yeah.
coconut on top
yeah,
of it.
Really.
Oh.
It's also that kind of texture of, like, a Fruit Loop kind of texture.
Right.
Cocoa Puffs kind of.
Yeah.
Minus the cocoa.
And plus the coconut.
Yeah.
Not so bad, actually. It was like 600 won.
I'm not a big fan of this coconut, though.
No. It's kind of oily.
And from those Nongshim people, too. They're making pretzels now.
Now, pretzels sounds like more of a winner.
Have you ever seen pretzels?
I mean,
other than
them
like imported,
this.
Yeah.
I have not seen pretzels in Korea.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're sweet and covered in sugar, like everything else.
Yeah. Well, let's double check.
That would make sense.
Double check, yeah.
Maybe they're persimmon flavored.
Yeah, maybe these are persimmon flavored.
Yeah.
Or green tea flavored.
Yeah.
Then they'd be well-being pretzels.
They're... Plain old regular pretzels.
Are they? Really?
Gore.
Tasty.
I might actually buy these.
They were
actually only 600 won. That's a big whack for 600 won, too.
Yeah. That's all right.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering, is it...
Oh, but see, it's marked as chonon. So you got a good deal on it.
It was on sale.
Yeah.
Was it a plus one purchase as well?
No. No. I'm just trying to figure out, have they always been on sale, but just... Like, because usually we're used to them in a bag, you know.
Oh, so you just never noticed them?
And they say rolled gold or something, right? Yeah, I just never noticed them. It's like the, you know, as I talk about corn syrup. You know, in Canada, corn syrup comes in a little bottle that looks like an ear of corn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then in America, it doesn't.
No.
So for the longest time, I could never find corn syrup.
But you're just looking for that bottle.
Yeah, because I'm all just scanning for that bottle. I can't freaking find it. So finally I have to ask one of the women that, you know, working there. I'm like, where's the corn syrup? And she's like, well, right next to the, you know, the maple syrup. And I'm like, I really can't find it. I've looked 1,000 times. And she just started looking at me like, you know, maybe in the 70s men were this retarded in grocery stores, but you're a young guy, not these days, you know. And so so she leads me there. And she's like, you know, right here. It's America, grocery store. Americans are always very polite in stores. That's what I like about America. People are so polite in their stores. And
Canadians are polite.
No, not in Toronto.
Not in Toronto?
People are grumpy and nasty. And
okay.
You want service? Why? It's cold out. My rent is due. Buzz off. I don't know. Yeah.
So big city trumps Canada?
They'll bag your groceries still in America. Paper or plastic. They'll give you an option. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't get that in Canada.
But they give you an option, but when you say paper, they kind of grumble.
Oh, really?
And I take it a step further, and I ask for paper in plastic sometimes, because it's easier to carry, and you can fit more inside the bag. And they just look at you. They won't say no, but they just look at you. Serious woman?
So, yeah. So... I think the corn syrup is like, something's not even called corn syrup, it's like Karo syrup or something.
Well, Karo's the brand name.
Yeah, all right, that was another reason. They need a little tiny writing, corn syrup.
So you think it's a healthy product, and you don't look further to see what it is.
So there may be things just packaged differently here that
yeah.
it just escapes your...
Well, and it's probably with the Anju, where you might not ordinarily shop for snack foods.
Is that, there a separate Anju aisle?
At Carrefour or whomever there is.
Oh, really?
That's where, when I brought that Spam, the Spam was from the Anju aisle.
Yeah. Is it like labeled goes, Anju, like on the... aisle marker?
No, but it clearly is Anju.
Because
it's next to the liquor.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's like maple syrup. You know, they'll put maple syrup next to the ketchup here. You know, you would never think to look for maple syrup next to ketchup and mustard, right? It's a sauce. Because it's not even called maple syrup. It's like sweet cake sauce or something. You know, the actual English on the package are like sweet cake sauce. All right.
Okay.
So, sometimes it's just they put it in different places you're not used to or something.
Well, it probably makes sense to them because you might put maple syrup on a hamburger here.
You might, actually.
If you want to call it a bulgogi burger.
All right, so Rosa. My main topic is we got to take advantage of being the Korean American because I think we got a lot of Korean American listeners and they're always, you know, kind of come here, teach English, that kind of stuff. So you're their voice. So
I hope I can be of some assistant because I was looking at this topic and been racking my brain for the last couple of days, and I came up with nothing.
Right. So topic is mistakes Korean Americans make coming to Korea. Now there's mistakes that whiteys make, and the one I think that the male whiteys make is the idea that like, oh, this is just going to be a land where women are very easy, and it's a dating paradise and stuff like that. And there are many problems, unforeseen problems in that. So that's a kind of one of the big mistakes I think that the white males sort of make.
And also thinking that they would be viewed on equal footing with a Korean male.
Sure. Yeah. There are many. I know we've talked about that in a podcast a long time ago. I won't belabor the point. But Rosa, are there any kind of?
Well, along those similar lines. I mean, as far as dating goes.
Okay.
The dating scene for Korean American females is definitely different than it is for Korean American males.
Okay.
A lot easier for a Korean American male.
Okay. Right.
Because. They're viewed a little better than the whiteys are, I guess,
because
they've got the citizenship, but they're still Korean, they're safer, and so,
well, they can take them home, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier for the Korean American guys to date here.
Right, yeah. They got the foreign cash, but they also have the, I can introduce them to my parents,
and they're not going to freak out.
They're not going to kick me out of the house,
But on the flip side, for Korean American females, not so much the same playing field for the dating scene.
Okay.
Because Korean guys aren't necessarily attracted to the Korean American females.
Okay.
But I think also Korean American females were not equally attracted to Korean guys either.
Okay. Now, before you came to teach, when was the last time you actually just came to the motherland?
The last time I was in the motherland as a tourist was in 2003.
Okay, 2003.
And I hated it.
Okay.
Actually.
All right.
I came here with a month-long plane ticket and ended up staying only for 2 weeks.
Well, now, why did you hate it?
It was so much of a culture shock for me because it was the first time I was in Korea alone as a grown adult.
Okay.
And not as, you know, a little kid or whatever. And it was just the culture shock was too much and I couldn't handle the congestion with the people.
Right, yes.
Because I'm from Colorado.
Okay,
and
right.
We have lots of personal space.
Yeah.
But I couldn't handle that, and Koreans are really rude.
Okay, right. Well, not rude, but...
They're all in a hurry.
Yeah.
They're in a rush.
Right.
And so you don't have the thank yous, please, you know, you're welcome, and the...
Sorry, I ran into you.
Yeah.
I would say you have to kind of... You got to take a step back and then run it through. This is one big family filter.
Yeah.
You know, how do you act differently among members of your own family? You know, you're at your house at Christmas time, it's full, you got to get to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
You don't mind just shoving your sister or your grandmother aside, right?
Yeah.
You just get right to the... So,
I don't know, I'm from the South, and there's a certain decorum that is always called for.
Even among family?
Yeah.
All right, well, okay, boisterous French-Canadian family, we've got to think of law of the North, where... If you give up your seat, doesn't matter how old you are, what your ailments are, you lose your seat. You just whoever sits down there takes that seat, and you have no rights to your seat once you give it up. Doesn't even age doesn't even count. So yeah, pregnancy, forget about it. Just, so yeah. So I do see certain parallels with my family with sort of sometimes the public etiquette here. So yeah. So I think sometimes you got to take it a step back and sort of view it through that filter. Yes. Like there was some guy in a small city, and he's just like, he's totally being freaked out because he's just being watched and followed, and you know, and when he walks by, people start talking, but he doesn't know what they're talking about, but he knows they're talking about him. And then someone made the suggestion, you know what, get business cards printed out and just, you know, introduce yourself as best you can to people in the neighborhood. You know, Sung Sang Nim from this school. Uh-huh. And in a way, you kind of got to look at it like it's like the Koreans, like they're coming down to the breakfast table and, you know, your daughter's boyfriend's there at the breakfast table, you know, and he's not talking to you. He's not introducing himself. Uh-huh. It's just weird, you know, and so it's not them being rude. You're kind of the one almost. You're at their breakfast table. No one's invited you, and no one knows who you are. You know, yeah.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
What's that?
That is one way to look at it. Although it is really annoying when you're just walking down the street trying to live your anonymous life, and people are following you and staring at you and saying hello as fast as they can, as many times as they can.
Sorry, Ross. You were here in 2003.
2003.
Right. People
bump into me. You know, I'd miss my subway exits because I couldn't shove my way out. just little stuff like that was really annoying to me.
All right.
I was on vacation, so it was not that big a deal. But thinking about it now, one thing for me, coming to Korea, I had this like fantasized idea of returning to the motherland, and I don't quite fit in the United States because I'm not white, and so I'm going to come to Korea and I'm going to be embraced and it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Not so much.
Yeah. I see that's what I'm thinking, that my pet theory is that sometimes a lot of Korean Americans come thinking it's going to be like Colorado, but everybody in the streets is Korean.
Yes.
The end.
Yeah, right. The end. I thought that's what it was going to be like, you know. And I was like, oh, it's going to be great. And we all call it, you know, the motherland.
Right.
We all think it's great, you know. And you don't have that warm embrace that you expect. But then I actually went into it kind of with a negative mindset, too. I came and I didn't embrace the motherland aspect of it.
Okay.
So I spoke English a lot on the streets with my friends or, like, on the phone. And I guess I didn't embrace the culture and the language as much as I could have.
Okay.
So therefore, pre-nationals didn't either.
Okay.
So you got to either stick with your American or Canadian whitey side and just go all the way and ignore all the criticism you're going to get.
Okay.
Or totally, completely embrace your Koreanness and just,
So you can't have it both ways.
You cannot have it both ways, which is what I don't like, because I'm not just Korean and I'm not just American. I'm very much Korean-American.
All right.
It's both parts of my life.
Yeah, that really sucks.
Yeah, and you can't do that here.
Okay. And I always wonder, too, if there's like, if you got to be very careful about, you know, sort of like, well, in America we do it this way and it's better, you know, that you might get this reaction like, well, like, you just don't understand because you're not a real Korean.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever kind of get that sort of...
I have gotten that a few times.
Okay.
But then people, like, some people will just pardon me. They're like, oh, it's okay. Rosa doesn't understand. She's not from here.
Right, okay.
I get that a lot.
Okay.
Also on the flip side, people will say, but, like, at the last... When I used to work with Jennifer, our director...
Okay.
When I ended on a sour note, and she told me, you know, because you're Korean, I expected better from you.
Okay, all right.
As opposed to the Americans.
Right.
You should have been different. You should have been, you know, more respectful or whatever.
In other words, we can suck because we're white.
Because you're white.
we're expected to not be able to toe the line.
All right. Wow. And Jennifer, you had an interesting question about language. Revealing how much you know.
Yeah, I think that could be a strategy that you would have to plan carefully, whether or not to reveal the extent of your Korean, because there really is a double standard here that, like, I know at our school, the parents really truly believe that their kids can be completely bilingual, possibly within a month, if, you know, the teacher is good enough.
If it's a good enough teacher, you can do it. It's like magic.
Regardless of the work put in by the student. The parents really have the view that if the Korean American teachers speak any Korean, then that detracts from their English ability. Mm-hmm. Like, I could speak in my, like, halting Korean to the parents, and they're, like, so excited, and they'll, like, you know, bend over backwards to, like, use low-level language so that I can understand them or whatever. But if Rosa were to be, like, just say hello in Korean, they would be, like... They wouldn't say anything probably to her face, but they'd call the school and be like, you need to change teachers.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. But also, I think, strategically, you could find out a lot of things by not revealing your Korean knowledge. Because the school doesn't always... Like, they sort of can sometimes...
Right.
Paint a pretty picture.
Okay.
For example, like if when the parents call and complain, because they complain about everything, and the school might put a nice spin on it for the teacher, but then like when they're just talking amongst themselves, they'll, you know, tell how it really is.
All right.
So, you know, you could find out that kind of stuff. You know.
Well, one of the nice things I like about not knowing the language is there. As far as I can tell, there are no office politics at my work.
Yeah.
I go in, I do my job. People are talking, and I leave. And, you know, we've been taken over by a new school, and there are many more whiteies on the other side. And I've resisted moving over there to their side, although they want me over at that side. You know, move my desk, but I'm not teaching those students yet. I'm still teaching them my grade schoolers. And the excuse, I mean, it's partially true, but the excuse I use is like, you know, I give the little kids the cookies and the crackers and stuff. And if I'm over on that side, you know, the big kids are over there, and they're not gonna want to come to my desk and get cookies. And so they're like, ah, yes, okay, you can stay there for the time. You know, I'm like, good. I don't know. So, but mostly because, yeah, that's one reason. You go over there and, you know, now there's like the politics or something.
Yeah.
And, Rosa, do you find this do you get some of that politics or?
Well, I kind of played the spy.
Yeah, Rosa's last classroom at our school, it was very strategically located to get all the dirt.
It was right in front of the office,
okay.
And the walls are really thin, and so I could
and
hear
they're really
everything.
Loud.
And they're really loud in the office. And so if my kids are just quiet and taking a test or whatever, I could hear everything.
It's like working with Italians. You know, why do we need email? Like, darn it!
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
There's a ventilation, a small doorway underneath one of the desks that goes into the director's office.
Right. Yeah.
So rather than like get up and walk 5 steps to go knock on the door and go in there, they'll just like yell under the desk.
Yeah.
It's very classy.
Not to say that I love Italians. They're the greatest people on the earth. And but I worked at an Italian software company. Well, not an Italian software, but a software company run by Italians.
Okay.
You know, Italian-Canadians. And, you know, they would wander in the halls and they'd be like, Tony, there's a special on the home electrolysis kit. Get rid of all your back hair. You know, like they would talk about stuff like this. And I'd just be like... I just been sitting at my desk going, this is the greatest company in the world. Like, you cannot get that. You don't get that hallway talk, you know, that you get at the normal. Man. So, and there's an espresso machine in the kitchen, you know, and they, you know, they bring in Italian baked goods. And yeah, they're wonderful people, you know. Yeah.
And you find out who has back hair.
Yeah, exactly. But they're a little loud at times, you know. It's like the family, you know. It's like your family.
Definitely.
Yeah, you just yell at each other. Yeah, good. So I'm sorry, Rosa, so you've got the intelligence.
But yeah, so I had the classroom that I can hear everything. And sometimes, like Jennifer said, that they put a positive spin on complaints that the parents had or, like, you know, office, you know, talk that goes on. And I heard the real stories.
The real stories. Okay. Wow. Well, what was the euphemism or the spin, and what was the real story?
A lot of times when parents would call and complain, me wouldn't really actually get the complaint, or Jennifer, you might, but the rest of us not necessarily always got the complaint.
Okay.
They'd say, you know, you're doing everything okay, blah, 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 blah.
Not so
much, but it'd be... Oh, I got specific names as far as, like, what teacher was doing what wrong. I don't think I divulged that information too often, but I would hear that.
Okay.
Because they would get the phone call, and then amongst themselves, they talk about it and stuff like that.
All right.
So it was always entertaining. I think a lot of times I might have just listened in on the office conversation more than to my students.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Wait a minute. But then the kids started picking up on it too because they can hear it too. Yeah. And so the older kids, they actually, I think they enjoyed listening in on it.
I'm sure they did.
I had to tell the office about that. But
Well, because I don't think I got every complaint, but if there were multiple complaints on one teacher, then I would get it because I'm actually the person who's supposed to go to them and talk to them. But sometimes if I thought it was like a BS complaint, like one teacher, I was asked to tell him to be more energetic and exciting in class. And he's just like a laid-back person, you know? And I'm like, well, he's not going to turn into a clown in class just because he's asked to, you know? So, like, I never even talked to him about it because I was like, it's his personality. It's not going to change, you know? If he was, like, beating kids in class, then I would tell him, doing that. But, you know, do cartwheels in class.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, two complaints I got was, one time they were like, you should talk faster.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like... All right, that makes no sense whatsoever. Because, you know, they don't understand me in the first place, so why talking faster is...
Speed up a little bit, so they're really confused.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't even want them to hear the words they do know.
And then, what was the other one? I'm like, God, not sincere. I don't, and the teacher, the head teacher showing me the students, you know, mother who complained. You know, the girl who never does her homework, who plays in class all the time, always has every toy imaginable on her desk. And I'm not sincere. So you got to take the complaints. Just sort of, you kind of shake your head and go, then just move on.
I'm kind of wondering this week if I'm going to get a complaint because on Friday I almost made a kid cry.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. I pulled him out of class. And actually got the lip quivering tears in the eyes, which, so I pulled it back. I was actually like just getting geared up to get good, but his lip was already quivering and everything. I was like, oh, well.
I should have taken a picture.
It was Ryan. Do you remember Ryan?
Michelle and Ryan, right? Oh, they're back? Didn't they go to Canada?
Guess not.
They went to Canada, quotes.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But now he's back, and I just can't stand him. He's a young teen, and he is really insolent and disrespectful, and he's never paying attention.
Anything.
Yeah, he's too cool for everything. Yeah. Like, could not possibly care less. And they had to do pair work for, 3 minutes in class. It was 5 sentences. They had to put them in order.
Yeah.
And he refused to work with his partner, which was Janice. So, I can kind of understand.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I wasn't going to, move other students so, you know, he wouldn't have to work with her.
Okay.
And he didn't have to sit next to her. He just had to sit across from her and talk to her.
But it's a girl.
It's a girl. She's a little bit of an odd one.
Yeah, an oddball, but still.
Still, it was just 5 sentences I had to put in order.
Okay.
And this is a pretty high-level class, so to take 3 minutes would have really been, stretching it out. He absolutely refused to do it. And so I asked him, you know, what are you doing? Because he was clearly doing nothing. And he just glared at me, and I was like, what are you doing? And he just glared at me again, and I was like, come with me.
Okay.
And so we went outside, and then he was just, glaring at me. I was like, what do you do when a teacher asks you a question? Glare, glare, glare. And I was like, no, what do? When a teacher asks you a question, do you stare at them or do you answer? And he was like, answer. I was like, right.
Rosa, this seems like there's a bit of a heated conversation going on behind you. What's the topic?
Give me a second. I I can't make up the topic of the conversation,
all right.
But it's a group, you know, of like six people behind us.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's split into two, and okay. The lady over here on my right, yeah. I'm saying to give something to them.
Uh-huh,
that
okay.
She doesn't like it when people don't give what they're supposed to.
Okay.
And the other guy is saying, well, I think such and such.
Okay. There's some older guy that's just sort of sitting there saying absolutely nothing, just yeah. This look on his face like, it'll all be over eventually.
Yeah, maybe once the woman who's talking stops pounding her fist on the table and yelling at them.
Yeah. When some of our listeners, you know, our Korean listeners, you know, back in America, they kind of like hearing the Korean in the background because, you know, they haven't been back to Korea in a long time, and it's like, oh, that's just what Koreans are talking about, you know, like in their normal lives, like, you know, like it's kind of an interesting little snapshot to them. Yeah.
Today's gossip brought to you by Rosa.
But you know, they're just shouting, and I can't even like really make out any like clear words right now. To be able to eavesdrop.
Wow. And any other fantasies you had when you fight.
That's actually one of the things I enjoy doing in Korea. Watching a good fight break out. Do you want me to pose so that looks like you're taking a picture of me?
I'm just getting my little camera ready in case
in case there's a good shoe fight.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing better than an Ajuma and Ajushi fight. Oh, wait, he's leaving with both umbrellas.
That's really storming out.
About okay. Some kind of real estate, and they're talking about like different appliances that they should give and that they should not.
Maybe
so. Oh, I wonder if there's a marriage about to occur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because some of the people, the ones that I can see, look old enough to be parents of bride and groom.
Yeah.
Right, he's back.
But they're talking about a washing machine, a refrigerator, that it's customary to give. And
that does sound like wedding.
It does sound like wedding gifts.
Okay.
Man, I wish I were Korean when I got married.
Such a happy union of two families.
There's another reason you should love Italians, because, you know, get a house.
I want the free house. I want the free appliances. Come on.
Man.
I got like $500 when I got married.
Sorry, Rosa, any other fantasies when you came to Korea?
Other fantasies when I came to Korea. You know, actually, when I came to Korea, and Jennifer will say that my Korean was pretty good when I got here. When I first came, I thought my Korean was great. I was like, man, I can do this. Because back home, my Korean is considered, like, really good.
Right, that's okay.
Yeah, not so much.
Okay.
So I realized that my Korean really sucks.
Okay.
And
because you only know the Korean that you use.
That I use, right. And so when I got here, I was like, huh?
Okay.
What? Excuse me?
They have banking in Korean, and they have, like, immigration in Korean, and like, so many parts of life in Korean that are not in Korean in America.
Yeah. did you find that when you came here that maybe kind of, you got like a frozen in time picture of Korea, and then you kind of come here? You know, because like somebody who's maybe like, you know, your parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe they have an idea of what Korea is about.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I don't think so because I was here in 2003.
Okay.
And from 2003 to 2006,
sure,
not a whole lot has changed.
Okay.
But
before 2003, right.
When I first came to Korea in like 94, I think, for the very first time, and then came back in 2003.
Okay.
That was a world of difference that has changed in Korea.
Okay.
I've had other friends who have come recently to visit, and they haven't been here in about like 10, 15 years.
Right.
They said it's way different,
yeah.
too.
Right, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. One of my friends, a previous teacher in my school, she would get embarrassed when her dad would come to visit because he would bring coffee to give to all of his brothers and sisters. And they'd like put it in their Gucci bag and be like, thanks.
Coffee, chewing gum, nylon.
Yeah. And he would like carry candy in his pockets to give to kids.
Wow.
And she's like, it's the war is over, Dad.
Right.
They can go to the store and get their own candy from someone who's not an old man stranger.
Yeah. I actually had some friends come out to visit recently. Some of them are still here actually, but they haven't been here in a while, I think. One of them bought way too much beef jerky. because they were going to use that as gifts to give to the family members. They actually got it taken away at immigration.
Because
they brought too much beef jerky. So one mistake to avoid there.
What is your beef jerky allowance?
If you're going to bring too much of one item, spread it out in your luggage, I guess.
Look like you're here to sell it or something.
And then another friend, she brought too much pine nuts. Because she was going to use that as gifts. And pine nuts are actually really expensive. Your pine nuts, walnuts, that kind of stuff.
Honey, too.
Honey. So it makes a good gift, but she just brought way too much of it, so she got it taken away at immigration.
But do they, when you come through immigration, you're in Incheon, and you go through those immigration people, do they talk to you?
I have never had anyone talk to me.
Okay.
All the times I've gone in and out of immigration, they just look at my thing and they let me through.
I've been stopped once. And the guy did talk to me. So.
What did he ask?
Oh, he just asked, like, if all the stuff was my stuff. Meaning, like, was I bringing my stuff for me?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and just, you know, usual chit-chat, too.
Yeah. Really? Chit-chat?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, come on, those immigration guys, they check, like, one bag an hour. They must get bored.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, most of the time it's just, I mean, you know, you're like, and you're like, say, you're trying to, like, your little Korean be polite, and comes out, and then they're just, like, stamping your passport.
Well, no, the guy that actually does the bags. Because, I mean, anybody that's been through immigration here can tell you it's nothing like the States. Right. It's like, there's one guy getting searched. We don't want a line. Go through. Oh, he's done?
Okay, you. Maybe.
Maybe. He might need to stop and have some coffee, though. Yeah. Go have a smoke.
But usually it's just baggage claim and then out the door.
Yeah.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. Jennifer, you got a little list.
I do. I have these are actually notebooks in lieu of t-shirts.
Oh, I love the notebooks.
Okay. I did see one of the Lebanon, Pennsylvania shirts yesterday.
Oh, good. Okay.
I thought of you.
All right.
I got this English chocolate. I love you so I want to you and live forever in the flavor of your brown.
I love it.
Flavor of your
the
brown.
Morning glory little notebook English.
And who's first to tree of Top Hill? I'm sorry, who's first arrived to Tree of Top Hill?
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my reaction. And still, you know, if you could have one student who wrote English that well, you'd be like, I've done my job. at least in my school.
Most of my writing students, if they turned in crap like that, I wouldn't even grade it. I feel like you can do better than that.
I don't know how I'd go about correcting that.
Yeah.
Because I think that uses a preposition. Did they make an attempt to use a preposition in that? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got a student who's in love with the word for.
For, okay.
For. The only preposition that exists is for, and she needs to use it in every sentence.
All right. Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
All right.
No.
Rosa, no. Okay. Two I didn't get a picture of, but I tried to buy the sweatshirt, but I was buying it at, like, Dongdaemun, where it's, like, you know, like, you know, if you've got anything bigger than a size 24 waist for a man, you know, things might be a little snug.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but it said nerd. And then underneath nerd, it said fly Emirates. And I'm like, those don't go together. Yeah. But, oh, man, I want that. Yeah. And, you know, so I'm just like, ooh, you know, size, you know, B-man size, you know, obese size or something like that. I'm trying to, like, give you something really big, but, oh, man. And then this one guy, have you seen, like, the little, like, the happy pigs, the smile pig?
The happy pigs, yes.
Yeah, there's, like, this, I don't know, these little characters, happy pigs or the smile pigs, and there's a black pig and a white pig, and they're holding hands. And then, so the guy's wearing the t-shirt that has, like, the smile pigs. And then underneath it says gangster vintage.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Because all the gangsters this season are wearing happy pigs.
Are you a Crip or are you a Blood? You know, like, what? Which one are you? I don't know.
I'm a black pig.
Oh, man. All right, and then this one I saw, a coffee tea store called The Teaable Seasons. Yeah, they serve green tea. Teaable. And I'm like,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I'm trying. Is it like a, like the four seasons? I'm trying to figure. Is it a pun on something?
Yeah, like what could what?
Teable.
Yeah. Like it's tea.
We're able to make it into tea.
It's doable, teable.
Teable, but seasons.
You're findable. I don't know. Teable seasons.
Right.
So what would be the teable season?
Which seasons are the teable seasons? Two or three seasons that are teable.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Well, you got winter for your hot tea and summer for your iced tea.
There you go, maybe. All right.
And then...
Or if you're in the south, all four seasons are teable seasons. You have your iced tea all year round.
Right, okay.
The teable seasons.
I think a better question is which seasons are not teable seasons.
And then donuts. I noticed it's the Dunkin' Donuts. They're trying to sell a new healthy set donut.
That's reaching.
Yeah, and so you got your coffee.
Okay.
And they've got these like little ring squishy donuts now. I think sort of based on
chop sal donuts.
What's chop?
Chop sal is the really sticky rice.
Yes.
Sticky rice.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
The sweet rice.
Right. So that's healthy, I think, because it's not made out of flour.
Healthy.
It's made out of rice.
Way healthier than rice.
Is that him?
Is that hum? Humcho? I think that's hum.
Hum? What's humcho?
I don't know.
I don't know what that is. Hum? Humcho, hincho. What other combinations are there? Hincho, chuisu.
Oh, wait, that could be chum. I don't know.
But the
second word is twisty.
Twisty. Twisty. Oh man. And then
Cafe Americano.
Americano, okay. Because that's very well-being, healthy.
Yeah.
The angel in us coffee store, which my Korean friend actually pronounces Angelinas. Like you're saying, you're trying to think of, that's just they're spelling Angelina wrong or something.
That's really what I thought.
Yeah, but that's
actually, Angelina Jolie is really popular. Yeah. She needs a coffee shop.
But I guess that's how they kind of you would pronounce it in Korean, kind of Angelinas. Yeah, and then you know this is a Korean chain by the fact that one of the food items they serve are hot dogs.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Starbucks would never sell hot dogs. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one's upmarket. You know, it's upmarket. It has a hot dog bun.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It's not just a corn dog. Yeah.
Not just a hot dog on a stick. Yeah.
And I don't think that's corn. I think it's like mayo and ketchup. Yeah,
all the good things.
Yeah,
and I like the way they spread it all over the bun too.
Yes,
like icing.
Wait a minute, mayo doesn't even go on hot dogs.
Mayo.
It does in Korea.
Oh,
and in Quebec.
Excuse me.
Oh my God.
In Quebec, mayo.
I'm so glad
hot
you
dogs.
Said that. You know what I saw the other day? I saw a hot dog on a stick.
All right.
Wrapped in seaweed,
covered
with ketchup and mayonnaise.
But no bacon?
No.
Did it have the breading on it, too? Like a corn dog? Or just a hot dog?
It may have had a thin layer of breading, but I think it was just a thick hot dog with seaweed around it.
Ew.
I was watching a Korean cooking show on cable, and they're doing how to make pizza. And
first you get your corn.
But yeah, literally. So first, you know.
And your ketchup.
Yeah. So the first step, of course, is put the dough.
Okay.
All right. So when you put the dough down, then they do this thing where they kind of make another ring, like an inner ring.
Okay.
All right. I'm like,
for the
okay.
crust or?
And then in the inner ring, that's where you then squirt the mayo.
Oh, of course.
So fill that with the mayo, right? And then on the inner ring, so now on the inside of the inner ring, that's where you put the liquid. Or the sweet potato paste. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Right, and then you put the ketchup and
ketchup,
cheese, and then
sliced cheese.
Grated cheese actually. Yeah, and then you take the can of corn and then you dump the can of corn. Yeah, and slide her into the oven, and I'm like,
yum.
I recognized one step there, which was putting the dough down.
Yeah. Wait, you left out the cutting up the hot dog and putting the hot dog on there.
This might have been vegetarian pizza.
Okay.
Yeah. Which would just mean put chicken on it, right? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my God, corn, sweet potato, and mayonnaise. That is such
mayo.
A dream pizza.
That is horrible.
I can get worse.
Can you imagine what that would taste like?
I don't want to.
Oh.
My kids live for the day they can have that pizza.
That is so gross.
Outside of an e-mart, there's a Pojang matcha, and they call themselves e-matcha. Like, they're sort of taking the e-mart logo, and I'm like, cool. Yeah, Pojang matcha, that's like a, you might initially want to call it a soju tent, you know, the tents that are just out there on the street where they sell the various, but Pojang means like, put in a bag or
something.
Takeout.
Pojang matcha is covered wagon.
Yeah.
Matcha. Well, doesn't matcha mean tent or something?
No, matcha means like cart, wagon.
Really? Okay.
It really means covered wagon.
Covered wagon. Okay. Because like, if you want something to go, usually you kind of throw out that pojang.
So covered.
Yeah.
Covered.
Yeah. Covered. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Pojang, yeah. It means either pojang covered or like for wrapping or
okay. Something. Yeah. Pojang matchas. Yeah.
I like when I see a Pojang matcha that's actually a building.
Oh.
There's one of those indoor Pojang matchas over in like the Apgujeong Cheongnam area that I only went to at nighttime, right? And so I always thought it was just like a big empty building at night it was like a Pojang matcha that had, you know, just like garden tables and chairs and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, you know? I actually went past there the other day in the afternoon.
Okay.
It's a car wash during the day.
It's a car wash?
It's a car wash and an auto body shop during the daytime. And
how enterprising.
At night, they just empty it out and serve food in there.
Okay.
Yum.
I won't be going back.
Well, yeah, any of the Pojang matcha where they just have the big plastic bin of water that they wash the dishes in.
You know what's the grossest place in the world to eat?
And Pojang matcha?
No, well, I mean that, but you know, Space Nine, now it's Hyde Park Mall. Right across from it, there's the Red Light District. But ringing the Red Light District are all these eateries. And I'm just like,
The eateries of choice of hookers and pimps?
I don't know, yeah. I'm just something about, like, I don't know, I don't want to get those hooker germs on my food. It's just something really disgusting about that.
Have you guys been to those restaurants? I don't even want to call it a restaurant, but it's like a butcher shop. But then you can eat there, too.
I've seen that. They've opened up one near me.
I think that's kind of weird. Like, in the front, they've got the big butcher's counter where you can get, like, I don't know, a cow's head if you really need one.
Or a pig's head if you're opening a shop.
Yeah. And then inside, a little further, past the flies and everything else, there's tables.
All right.
And you can barbecue up your meat and eat there.
Because nothing makes you want to stay and have a meal like fresh meat with flies around it.
Yeah, but it's really weird. But they're always really busy when I walk past any of them.
Okay, I will say that Gavin's, you know, the Scottish guy that has the sausage place.
Yes. Okay, right.
Like, if you want real sausage, you can get it from Gavin's. He has a small, restaurant.
Say it right. Sausagey.
Sausagey, yes.
Sausagey.
Well, no, because it's not sausagey. It's real, actual sausage.
Oh, okay.
And you can even get, like, sausage rolls, which has a pastry around it, and all kinds of stuff from him. But he's got like a little restaurant there too, so you can get like shepherd's pie and other kinds of sausages.
Inside
goodness.
Of his shop.
But the place where they actually make the sausages out of view.
Of view, okay. No,
it's like a sterile area. Imagine, and then a separate place is the restaurant, and then at the front where you walk in is just the shop where you can buy the sausage goods. And I will just give him a little plug if you're here. You can get it online. Just do a search for Gavin's sausage.
Can you order online and get it delivered?
They deliver.
Where are they located?
They're located in North Seoul. I want to say in Pyeonghwa-dong. But if you go to the Kyobo bookstore.
What subway station are they closed?
No, there's no subway. Either. You have to take a bus from Kyobo.
No.
The 1020.
All right.
And then you just have to get off when you know it's time to get off.
Okay.
Magically.
Yeah.
And,
Which may think...
I want to say he's, like, below a Pizza Hut or something. Yeah.
Now, you may think, like, Jennifer's just slumming, but that is just what every direction here is.
Yeah,
that's
just...
There's a subway exit number, maybe a bus to get on, and then just...
You'll know.
Yeah, and then you'll know, and that's about it, you know? Just wait. If you think you can't find it, then just call us on your cell phone, and then give us some landmarks, and we'll direct you further.
And you can get directions on their website.
Yeah.
Which I want to say is like gavins.co.kr or something. I don't know. Not exactly sure. But if you like sausage that is not a hot dog, definitely. give him a look up.
They opened up this Hof by me, and it's called Hey Hey Hey.
Hey Hey Hey.
And so who are they using in the logo?
Fat Albert.
Yeah, yeah. So, which is just incredibly bizarre, because when was that cartoon last on television?
Like the 70s?
Yeah, and who would even in Korea would even know, like...
It was a movie a couple of years ago, but I think like four people saw it.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
In Korea?
I think it did come to Korea. It was the heavier guy from Saturday Night Live was the new Fat Albert.
All right, yeah. So I'm like, all right, fine. And then they had their like grand opening. But instead of the you know, the balloon arch and the dancing girls, what do they call? What's the Korean word for that?
Do-mi.
Do-mi, yeah. what was it? The Yangpa, the Korean version of the Onion website, which is actually quite funny. The guy said Do-mi. It's Korean for one more missed credit card payment, and then I have to go, you know, work at Anma or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. House of prostitution. So I'm like, that's kind of funny, actually.
You know, I can add that to my mistakes to avoid. I didn't know about the Anmas
coming
to Korea.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of getting a nice massage back home.
Okay.
And I mistakenly walked into a... It said massage.
Of course, yeah.
And they all looked at me like I was on crack.
What the hell? Yeah.
Why are you walking in here?
Yeah. Yeah, last weekend I took my new teachers to Itaewon, and we ran into some airmen who were kind of lost.
Oh, okay. What were they looking for?
We went to the USO first to get their travel stuff.
Okay.
And then like these guys just sort of glommed onto us because it was their first time in Seoul.
Okay.
And so we took them to Itaewon, and they said they're from Songtan, which is where the big airbase
right, yes,
is.
Right.
And they said that they had walked into a place, and the guy was like, it must be off limits to airmen, because they walked in, and the guy was like, no, not here, not here. Sex massage.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah.
Like, wow. For them to be like so adamant of, you do not want to use our business.
Right, yes.
That they must have had some issues with the base.
All right, yeah. Wow. So instead of the Do-mi girls, they had you know, during election time, they have like the little bongo trucks with the covered bongo trucks, and it's like a little stage. They had one of those sort of driving around, and then the two women dancing and like talking on the microphone, and there are all
these Anmas do that sometimes
blinking
too.
Lights, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope it's not that, because it's in the building where my school is. I don't know. Yeah, there's no zoning regulations here, right?
No,
it's like,
no,
you know, there'll literally be like, you know, a hagwon next to like some sex shop or something like
yeah.
that, and no one thinks that's odd.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And then not particularly funny. Well, it's funny initially. It's the tampons. Some sort of pads or something.
It's a panty liner.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy your magic day.
Magic day.
Yeah.
Magic su.
Yeah, that's their slogan.
Okay, there's one. I'm going to ask Rose if I'm translating it correctly. But the message I'm getting from them, their tagline is something like, cleanliness is different.
Cleanliness is different.
It's the girl, like, she's wearing the iPod earphones because it's white, and like everything is white. And then she says, you know, 깨끗함이 달라요.
깨끗함이 달라요. Like, the cleanliness is
Yeah.
It's a different kind of clean.
A different kind of clean. Okay. And I was like, well, yes, cleanliness is different.
But was it for a woman's sanitary?
Yes. Yes. So, their meaning is a different kind of clean.
Okay. But the magic day, do you know the origin of that term? Because here, like in North America, we'll refer it to as like, you know, period or herb or, you know, that time of the month or on the rag. You know, we've got all the euphemisms.
Right. Yeah.
But here, they call it magic time or magic, it's my magic time.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Well,
where I magically turn into an evil person.
Well, I'm trying to remember, why do they call it that? And I thought, well, maybe because, you know, there's a, you know, like the Jews have, like, you know, you have to go to the mitzvah or something after your period and ritually cleanse yourself. There's a lot of, some of these issues with the, you know, with that time of the month and something. Well, maybe it's something.
Like their shamanistic past
or something? Yeah, maybe, like, women who are on their period have magical powers or, you know. they can fly, or you know, like you know, crouching tiger, hidden dragon, you know, like that. That's where it comes. I don't know. And then someone said, oh no, I guess there was like a commercial, like, and that was the euphemism they just used, you know, during that magic time of the month or something, like, and so it just caught on that.
Usually when I've heard people refer to it, it's just a Korean equivalent to at that time of the day. They're like, oh, it's that day? Yeah, it's that day. That's all I've heard usually.
And then the iPark Mall, Space Nine.
I love mauling.
Yeah, they're so good. I love mauling.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, like mauled by a tiger or something.
At least they spell it right.
Yeah, at least they spell it right. But just that's like, I love mauling.
But we say mauling where I live. I'm going to go mauling.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Yeah, and I love going mauling.
Because that just means like you don't necessarily plan on buying anything. You're just going. So you're not necessarily going shopping. But window shopping is a long name, and mauling is a short name.
Okay. Man.
All right. So I got know your Konglish. Let me read it. Pari gen te e shun. Pari gen te e shun.
Presentation.
Yes, presentation.
Or as they say it, presentation.
Presentation.
Which might be a regional pronunciation, maybe. There might be parts of the stage where they say presentation.
Okay. All right. That was for like a overhead projector or something.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And just another little thing I spotted.
I love couple rings.
Couple rings, yeah.
Because the Korean pronunciation is coupling. Coupling. Which means coupling. Having sex exactly. Where I live.
Wow. Yeah, a couple rings. Just, because then you got the couple sets, like wear the same t-shirt and stuff like that. But then when you take it to the next level, it's the it's the couple ring. Yeah, you have to buy it. And they're not even, those rings aren't even different, are they?
It's not no, like, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point. Yeah. They're identical.
Identical rings.
Yeah, it's not like
so
a
your boyfriend
version.
Can look just as completely gay as
retarded
possible.
As you do.
Because
and couple
nothing
rings
says,
are always really ugly.
Yeah.
I have yet to find a couple rings.
Well, they all look like they came out of a gumball machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, it's like I want to buy you jewelry, but I'm too cheap. So,
so here you go.
Here you go. And by the way, just to show you that I'm a man, I'll wear the same one too.
Wow. Would you ever do that, Jennifer? Would you do a couple set? To,
no.
No. Rosa, would you?
No.
No. Our wedding rings didn't match at all.
Okay.
I picked out him a ring that I liked for him, and I picked out me a ring that I liked
for
me.
Did you ever have a Korean boyfriend, Rosa, who
I
was like...
I have had a Korean boyfriend, but I didn't do the couple ring thing.
Have you really had a Korean boyfriend? No, but I'm just you gotta let me, because when you stop that sentence, it's like...
sorry.
Why would you date a Korean man? No. You're making... Have you ever had a Korean boyfriend who wanted to get a couple set to...
My last real boyfriend was Korean-American, but very much not American, very much Korean.
Right.
And he always wanted to do the very couple-y things, like the t-shirt and...
Wow.
And so we had like couple days where I could stomach the matching t-shirts kind of stuff.
Okay.
You wore a couple shirt? Rosa.
Yeah.
The whole side of you I never knew about.
Yeah, but my couple shirt that I tolerated was like... a white polo shirt, and so he wore a white polo shirt too, with my version of a couple shirt.
That's close enough.
Not like the character kind of weird stuff, but
no snuggle bunnies.
No, I'm sorry. I cannot do stuff like that. Have you seen those couple shirts that they have pictures of themselves on?
God.
And then they're both wearing those, as if they forgot who their couple was, so they have to have a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
No, when I was a kid, and airbrushing was popular, people would get shirts that had their partner's name on it.
Okay.
And so they would have, like, a couple shirt.
Okay.
Although usually it wasn't worn at the same time.
Right.
Like, one would have, you know, so they would have a shirt with the other person's name on it. So in case they forgot, who am I sleeping with?
Bob. Yeah. But no couple rings, no.
Okay.
Although I've had a lot of friends that I have. Do this. And I just think it's a weird...
Korean friends or Korean-American friends?
Korean friends. Yeah. on.
It's a freaky foreigner.
Freaky foreigner. We haven't had a freaky foreigner for a long time. They wouldn't forget what the intro music to Freaky Foreigner was. Anyway, so I used to know my friend, she, in the intro music, she goes, ooh, it's a freaky foreigner, or something like that. Yeah, all right. I forgot what the music was. But, yeah. So I don't work with many whiteies, and I don't go out, so I don't get to see many freaky foreigners. And then we were hoping, Rosa, you would be like, you know, hanging in those Itaewon taverns and stuff like that.
Well, I don't hang out in Itaewon too much. And I didn't, last time I saw this topic, I had no clue what you guys meant.
All right.
I just can't believe it. Unless you just think we're all crazy.
Perhaps. I don't know. But I'm a little odd myself, so I might just blend in with all the freaky foreigners. I don't know.
But you got one.
But I have one.
Good.
And it's, you know, what do we coin his name as?
Well, don't use his real
name.
Dirty Fred.
We're going to call him Dirty Fred. Nice guy. A little odd.
Okay.
However, this is a church friend, and you know, I'm Catholic, so we do the sign of peace, but I always find myself standing behind him during Mass.
Okay.
And a couple weeks ago, I caught him scratching himself in areas that should not be scratched in public.
All right, like a baseball player.
Yeah, right, okay. Kind of. But
Especially during church.
Yeah. And it's not like a slightly, like, casually whisking your hand across because you have, you know, an itch or something.
Okay.
This was, like, full-on, both hands, like,
ooh,
going at it.
Like, do you want to ask him if he has poison ivy, kind of?
And I just thought, oh, how gross, first of all. And then, like, soon after that, it was a sign of peace. So I was like, oh, we're not going to shake hands. We're going to just do it the Korean way and bow. Which was a couple weeks ago.
Good, okay.
And then today, I just got back from church. He added a new level to this.
Uh-oh.
He started off scratching his hair.
Okay.
Which is okay, but some people just shouldn't scratch their head more than others because if you're not that clean, you can see little particles coming off your hair.
Nice.
And then, you know, rubbed his eyes and he scratched his ears and anything that you could scratch and stick your hand in or up, including his nose. He did. And I have not seen a lot of people, or I don't think many people at all, use handkerchiefs anymore actually to blow their nose in. But he pulled out a handkerchief that was very not clean and I'm sorry, Carl.
No, we were talking about that right before you got here today.
Yeah, I know. You see a lot of it in Korea, like people like wiping their sweat or something, but none of this like full on blowing your nose and wiping it. And so he did that, and along with the scratching, and then he turned around again during the sign of peace, and I just I had to just bow.
So did he actually stick his hand down his pants to scratch better? God.
Oh really? Ooh, in church.
Yes.
Ooh.
So this is
only
like,
one hand went inside the pants.
Oh, only one. Well, thank goodness.
When he was scratching on the outside, it was like full on, both hands like going at it, like.
So he's like Al Bundy at church.
Kind of, he is actually. But the thing is, like, he always stands in the front of church too.
Okay.
It's not like he's one of those like nondescript people who are in the back who try to blend in. He's very involved and he's always in the front, and he sticks out. He's a tall guy.
Okay.
And he also sticks out because his hands are flailing all over the place as he's scratching everything he's got.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that is my freaky foreigner story.
Jennifer, you, any other freaky foreigners? You had the best one, I think. And it's so good. I've actually seen it told other places. Like,
Dennis.
Yeah, the drunk guy who's like drunk on a.
Twice in 2 days, my husband happened upon him. Passed out in the street, like, not actually in the street, but on the sidewalk next to the street.
Yeah.
And on both occasions, like, he was surrounded by his empty soju bottles.
Yeah.
And the interaction ended when a car full of girls pulled up, threw him in the car, and said to my husband, "We're taking him to class."
Yeah.
And since he saw him in two completely different parts of town on those two different days, all he could guess is that this girl's job is to drive around looking for him, to pull him into the car and take him to class. Yeah. He actually, because this was Chunju, where no freaky foreigner can get fired, yeah. regardless of how freaky, they did have to stop having him have classes.
Okay.
They didn't fire him, but what they were doing was having him do one-on-one classes in people's homes.
Okay.
So basically, like,
great.
He was doing privates through the school.
Okay. Okay.
And, like, I don't know how that was better, because the moms would have been there to, like, see that he's in a drunken stupor mm-hmm. and smell him. Because that was the problem, is he lost all of the classes, because all of the students would say, my teacher smells like booze.
Right, okay.
But you know, a lot of privates in Korea, the moms are home. But this is the thing where I think it's really unsafe and odd. They just stick the child and the teacher in a room, close the
yeah.
door,
and right. go and yeah, and go away. But still, they would have greeted him at the
right,
door,
right.
you know,
right.
given the little snack or whatever. Like when I was in Chunju, I used to do a lot of privates because I only worked 4 hours a day. But like Carl. But also, my pay—I was only making 1.3 at that school. Like. I really had no qualms about teaching private since they were paying me slave wages. But yeah, the moms would always greet me and give us a little snack and chit-chat for a couple of minutes.
The obligatory fruit platter.
Yeah, and let me say, the obligatory last week's fruit platter. Like, it would be
yeah.
the fruit...
That was leftover.
And I felt like they would give it to me because then I would have to eat it to be polite.
That's how they got rid
right,
of it.
Yeah, exactly. So then they like give credit for giving a snack, and then I am required to eat this like smushed in, you know, like 1 week past edible fruit.
Dude.
Thanks.
my little freaky foreigner story, and I kind of was reminded on it when I'm sitting on the subway, and they have this new video on the subway. To look out for terrorism or something.
Oh,
or,
do they?
Yeah, like, but it's not like, fortunately, like, it's all like as if like Koreans are doing the terrorism. It's not like, let's get a black person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. So yeah, we're not being blamed for anything. That's pretty good. I'm actually happy about that. But, so this is one really funny scene where, you know, like the things to look out for. So there's this guy in this like leather outfit, leather jacket, like leather pants or something.
And like he wouldn't stand out anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he pulls out this like big 1 liter water bottle, and I guess it's filled with like something flammable, and he's got a lighter, and he's threatening to like light it on fire or something. And he's yelling at people, and I'm just like looking at that. And I just start laughing, like, which is really, you know, it's something you don't necessarily always want to do, be the foreigner laughing out loud on the subway, because
yeah.
you know the old ladies start edging away from you. They make them nervous, you know. I don't like to make people freaked out, but So then I remember there was a guy, he was probably Canadian, and his friends were going to meet him, like, near an exit, but he got to the station early, all right, so he, but for some reason he didn't think his friends would know which way to go, so he had a big jar of coffee mate, and then he started to make a trail. Like, he just said, follow the coffee mate trail. You know, this white powder.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because you're a crazy foreigner. You can do stuff like
yeah.
that.
So the police, you know, someone notices a
yeah.
white powder, you know, and, you know, they so they call the police, and the police call the Korean army down and their, you know, biological warfare unit, and the subway station is shut down. And
for
you know,
coffee mate.
Yeah, you know, meanwhile the guy's like out there by the exit, you know, covered in white powder, waiting for his friends, and so they arrest him. And,
they figured out who did it.
You know, so they're interrogating him, and the newspaper article, they are interviewing one of the cops or something, and they're like, you know, he told his story, and then the cop ended with. It sounded entirely believable. So I'm just like. Yeah, they must have to deal with a lot of bizarros, but yeah, it's like...
Oh, man, one of our new teachers accidentally... You know, in your apartment, you've got that the wall phone?
Yes.
Well, his started beeping, and he didn't know what to do with it, so he just pushed all the buttons,
uh-huh.
and one of the buttons calls the police.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh.
So, actually, the police didn't come. The Ajashi, the Kyungbi Ajashi came and yelled at him.
Okay.
You know, rather than, like, showing him how to... turn it off.
Yeah.
just yelled at him for pushing the button.
Any opportunity they get to yell, they like that.
Yeah, and then he left, and then the thing is still beeping, so he does it again, pushes all the buttons, and the guy came back and really yelled at him and still didn't show him how to turn it off.
Right.
And so when he came to school, he was like, this thing on my wall is beeping, and this guy keeps coming to yell at me. And
Which apartment is it, by the way?
Yours.
Mine. Or
yeah. So Deborah, of course, the person who holds up the walls at our school, she went over and sorted it out.
What are the perks of that job besides the awesome pay, the $2 an hour they're getting? It's you get to do a lot of sleeping.
A lot of sleeping.
Yeah, watching
television.
On their phone. On the little tiny, they got a little tiny television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the ones at mine, if they sit in the office, they've got a full-size one.
Really?
Wow. But they have to take turns sitting in the booth to let the cars in.
Oh. And then they get sometimes to do some shouting.
Yeah.
So definitely, yeah.
I got two of them to come in. I had an electronics graveyard. And I got two of them to come and take away all my old electronics.
Okay. Wow.
So, yeah.
But you never,
because you can't just throw them away here.
Rosa, you never had any whiteys hit on you or anything like that? No weird.
I haven't had whiteys hit on me in Korea.
Okay.
But I had an incident in the States one time where it was a guy who used to teach English in Korea.
And he
was trying to use that to pick me up.
Okay.
And it was funny because he was throwing out Annyeonghaseyo. Right?
random Korean words.
Random Korean words. I'm like, because that's what we look for, right?
Kimbap.
Because I told you. Oh, yes, you're so hot.
Yeah.
Let me take you home with me now. But he was saying these words, and then he goes, I only speak Palmol. I don't speak Jeondaemol. And I was like, what are you talking about?
I only speak Palmol. Do you want a cigarette?
I was like, what are you talking about? It was at a mall that this happened at. And I was just like, what mall?
What mall are you talking about?
I asked him, and it was talking about 존댓말 and 반말.
Yeah, right.
Which is, yeah.
Polite.
But his little his mnemonic device was Palmol.
Palmol.
Like the cigarette.
And it was like Jeondaemol. Something like that, and so, yeah.
You're like, I don't know where Jeondaemol is.
I don't know.
My friend,
I've never been there.
My friend had that happen to her when she was in Australia studying English. A guy just on the street literally came up to her and just started saying random Korean words to her.
That's kind of what it was like.
Kimbap,
soju.
Yeah, soju, cheksang, just like. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got this theory that if you got Korean American women here, that they're prime targets for, it's like the people who make the really calculated decision, I'm going to come to Korea, I'm going to find me a Korean wife, right?
Mm.
And then they're like, okay, not only are you Korean, but you speak English, so I don't have to train you. That's kind of what their idea would be. So you're just completely the best of both worlds or something like that. And there's no visa issues or something like
that. There are no visa issues. However, I've had Korean American guys tell me that why bother with a Korean American girl who will resist and say no.
Resist.
When they can date a Korean national girl who doesn't know any better and will never say no.
There you go. Okay.
There you go.
Was their reasoning behind not dating Korean Americans.
Rosa has had an experience with crazy Koreans.
Okay.
Had lots of crazy Koreans.
Yeah. But this is freaky foreigner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was one guy especially that rated, he was up there, he could have been a freaky foreigner if only he were not Korean. The guy that pulled over in his car.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, tell us about that anyway. Because that's always good. Guys pulling their car over stores.
Okay, I went into work early for some reason. I was going to the post office.
Okay.
And just walking, minding my business, and whoosh, he pulled his car over, suddenly. Oh, and I thought he was lost or something, because that happens sometimes.
Okay.
He would roll the window down, and he's like, excuse me, Tokyo. And I was I was very polite.
Okay.
And I said, yes, how may I help you? And I'm speaking. I usually don't speak Korean on the street, because they're usually trying to sell something, but I was really polite. And I said, how can I help you?
Right.
Whatever. And he goes, he's stuttering. And I thought he was still lost.
Okay.
He gets out of the car. Long story short, he was hitting on me.
Oh.
But basically, he was like, I you walk down the street often. I was like, no.
You walk down the street often?
He's like, I've seen you twice already. Like, what do you mean you've seen me twice already? Well, this morning when I was going to work, I saw you. And then I was going back to work and I saw you. And I was like, kind of scary.
All right,
and
yeah,
I was down that street twice that day.
Okay.
And then he, you know, basically, you know, he told me where he lived because he lived in like Jeongjajong, which is a good area.
Okay.
He told me what bank he worked at to, you know, prove that he had a job and he was not just some bum.
Right.
He pointed out his car that he was driving.
Okay.
Nice car and whatever. And
all of his good selling points.
Was it a big black Equus?
It was a big black something.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of it was. I don't know. But it was a decent looking car.
All right.
And then he said, "Could we be friends?" I said, I'm sorry, I don't need any friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that would be kind of like, you know, stalking is not a scary thing here to...
It was kind of freaky, though.
Yeah, well, from the Western perspective.
To, like, pull over in his car and be like, I've been watching you.
It wasn't flattering at all.
But you know, a lot of Korean women, like, you know, wouldn't find that freaky. That would to them
Korean
be just.
Korean women might find that flattering.
He's noticed me. Exactly.
Yeah. He's noticed me, and he lives in Jeongjae-dong, and he works in a bank, and he's got a big black car.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
let's go out.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Not to slight my Korean brothers, but you know, it's like you know that if you can get into the culture, then it's like you don't interpret it necessarily as stalking, but it's like, oh, that's just the way they are. It's kind of interesting or complimentary.
So I just made sure to never walk home by myself after that.
No, okay.
Just never know.
Yeah, I had a guy. Like, because you're in Korea and you feel like you can trust people that are complete strangers.
Huh.
I was taking my, it must have been my cat. I was taking my cat to the vet and a cab stopped but then saw that I had a cat, which somehow it had missed when it was stopping.
Okay.
And then it wouldn't give me a ride because I had a cat. And so then this guy had been standing there and he saw that and he was like, "Do you need a ride somewhere?" And I was like, "Well, I need a ride to the vet."
Okay.
He was like, "Oh, I can take you." And I was like, "Okay."
All right.
never do that back home.
No, you would never do that in the States. So we get in the car and we're going. And, you know, at first he's like, "Are you married?" And I was like, "Yes, I am." "No, do you have kids?" "No, I don't." He's like, "Yeah, I'm married." You know, he told me he's about his wife and his kids and whatever. And he's like, "So, do you want a Korean boyfriend?" And I was like, "No, I've got a husband." And he's like, "Yeah, but
you don't have a Korean boyfriend."
Yeah, I was like, "Well, I've got a wife." And I was like,
"All right.
Thanks for the ride.
Can I get out here, please?"
Yeah. Remember, just open the door and roll.
Roll,
and
roll.
Roll, yeah.
Use your cat as...
Yeah, use your cat. You can buy a new cat.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity of the week. You know, I was thinking about if you graduate university and you come to Korea and you work and you pay off your student loans and you go back, how is teaching here going to kind of warp your view of the work world? You know, how is the work world back home different?
Well, you should never work more than 6 hours a day. That's for one thing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to pay for accommodation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, the working in a hagwon, maybe people will think is just, you know, maybe just a horrible experience. But at the same time, it might distort your view of what you're going to get back at home.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, especially if you've kind of never sort of worked an entry-level job and tried to, you know, you're on your own and you're working an entry-level job and you know, here, there's no rent, you know, you live rent-free.
And basically no taxes, I mean, 3.3%.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No. But if you go home and you can, if you live in a big city, you know, say like Toronto or Chicago or whatever, and you're, you know, and you've just had your university degree, you know, a BA, you've gotten some experience teaching in Korea, and now you're looking for some sort of entry-level job, you know, some sort of office sort of thing, then, you know, you're not going to be paid very well. And you in the first couple of years, you're going to just get by, you know, that...
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Half of your salary is probably going to go to your rent when you're just initially starting out. And so, I mean, here you've got the... I mean, it's almost like every month somebody's literally just giving you $2,000 every month to spend. Here's $2,000, just spend it.
And, money.
Uh-huh. Exactly. You can save it. You can buy an iPod. You know, you don't have to think too much here about budgeting and saving every little penny.
Right,
So if you're going to go back home, just remember that the good times are not going to continue. That working the entry level job can be a very low pay.
Yeah.
It gets better.
Well, depending on what field you go into.
Well, yeah.
You know.
Well, actually, what I recommend for that is what I try to do, and I haven't been doing such a great job, but I pretend like I pay rent.
Oh, okay.
And I'll. Whatever, like, theoretically, I would be paying rent for in the States for a really crappy apartment.
Right.
I save that.
That's a good idea.
For a cushion for when I go back.
Okay.
So that if I do end up being an overly well-paid school teacher when I go back, I'll have, a little bit of a wiggle room.
Wow. You're kind of grappling with that, Jennifer, that, going back, what...
I know.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing that's kept me here so long is that... My life here is good, I don't have to worry, oh my goodness, I've only made $2,000 and I'm going to pay $750 in deductions and then I've got to pay this much for rent and this much for my car and this much for car insurance and, all that, and then I've got $5 for groceries, woohoo!
Exactly, yeah, because I remember when I was first starting out, living in Toronto, entry-level wage, after rent, you get paid twice usually, 15th and the end of the month.
Yeah.
So it was like the end of the month check pretty much went to paying for rent and then, my spending money, groceries, stuff like that. And then my middle of the month check was savings, paying my bills, stuff like that. Yeah. And I mean, here it's it's nothing to think Saturday night, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go to a movie, go have a nice dinner, go have a beer, whatever. You don't have to think about that. You can go once a year, you can go to Thailand, you can go on a vacation if you want. You can save money, you can buy clothes. Even if you're saving a lot of money, there's still enough money left over to live a good...
To spend comfortably.
But when you go home and if you're earning that entry-level job, you really, on weekends, you're I can see a movie... Or I can have dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Order a pizza and go to Blockbuster.
Yes. Yeah.
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 And by pizza, I mean the $3.99 large pepperoni.
Yeah. 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 So it can be a good life. But like you say, you were saying, Jennifer, that you're head teacher at your school and low tax rate. You're earning a good hunk of coin. And so going.
You've got a good thing going yourself. Though.
Yeah, you got.
I do.
You got it going. You got a nice apartment.
Yeah.
Rent free.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And since the new teachers have seen it, I think they're now jealous of my place.
See, you did a good job of not showing us or me and the other Martins until later, and so I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But they saw it early on.
And as I was alluding to earlier, that especially if you're the only foreigner and you don't speak the language, you're immune to the office politics and you're immune to a lot here. And if you go home, you're going to be, there's the office politics
and they do make a lot of exceptions for you here. You can always, even if you know you should be doing something differently, you can always just kind of pretend oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in Seattle, I kind of got away with that sometimes. That's just the Canadian way of doing things.
Yeah.
But and then too, it's even your status, that especially if you're in a big city, and there are very, very rich people in that big city and you are not, and you definitely see you recognize yourself at the bottom, and being here again, you know there are vastly rich people here in Seoul, but at the same time you're foreign and you're different and you have a certain different status.
And all the teachers are also sort of in the same boat as us, all the other foreigners, except for the engineers or whatever that we wouldn't run into anyway,
right.
There's not a situation like in the States where some of your friends have the four-bedroom, you know, four or 5,000 square foot house, and you've got the little crap hole apartment, and you like don't want them to come over or whatever. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point too. That, yeah, my apartment's the same as your apartment, or if my apartment isn't the same as your apartment, I could get that your apartment if I wanted to just by changing jobs or, you know, working privates or whatever.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point too, and. You know, and then like, you know, go back home, you don't mean anything to that company. You know, that your picture is not going to be on brochures, things like that, right? You know, so that's kind of another thing to sort of think about. Because I'm going home, I'm thinking a lot of these things. I'm not starting again, you know, but I'm beginning to think again, like, you know, kind of my first starting out, you know, going back to Toronto and... You know, that sort of thing, thinking how it used to be, and thinking, you know, if I was in this, I don't know.
Carl, how long have you been in Korea for?
Four years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we got a new teacher, a new Korean teacher, and she asked me that question exactly. She's like, but, you know, through a translator, she's like, how long have you been here? And I'm like, 4 years. And then she's saying something about, she's referring to the picture of me out in the hall, right? There's not going to be a picture of you out in the hall, in your company, right? Where you work in, you know, back at home. And she says something, and then the woman teacher translating, she's like, oh, she says you look so much younger in the photo outside.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I know, I'm like, really? I don't know,
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, but maybe on the flip side, you know, your coworkers will be not quite so blunt sometimes.
Yeah, but you'll always know what they're saying.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
You know, and I've worked in some crappy offices in the States where, like, there was definitely alliances and, you know, and like, I'm talking about offices with less than 10 people. And if your friends or even talk sociably to some of them, other ones would ignore you completely, you know, and like, that's just miserable, especially when you're making like almost minimum wage,
And even going back, you know, if you're going to work in like a big company, like, because if you're working in a school, it's small, everybody knows everybody, there's a certain sort of fellowship, but when you go work at a really big company, you know, like 1,000 people, it's different. It's, you know,
you're a nameless cog.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, the working here can kind of lull you into a strange sense, like, it's what it's going to be like back at home. But yeah, but I mean, not to discourage you from going back home.
Yeah.
But you know, because you have to start at the bottom, you know, and then it does get better. You know, after, you know, do a good job, it gets better. But yeah, I don't know. That's just my little.
Yeah.
So not really a job opportunity, just some advice, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is going to be kind of a nasty, painful transition, though, to go from having like. Basically, more spending money than I would ever need because I don't have an expensive lifestyle to really having to watch every penny, which I hate doing.
My calculation based on my previous life in Toronto to save, if you want to have a one-bedroom apartment, you want to save $1,000 a month. You want to have that lifestyle where you can eat out a couple times a week, go see movies, you can take a yearly vacation abroad. You know, you can buy some new piece of clothing once a weekend if you want. But you have to be earning about $45,000 a year to enjoy that same lifestyle back in kind of a big city. So you're not being paid $45,000 a year here. But big lower taxes, free apartment, lower cost of living, that sort of stuff. That is definitely it's equivalent to about a 45K a year job. So.
Yeah. So in Toronto, how possible is it to not have a car?
Oh, what's possible in Toronto? Just because
public transportation.
Well, but subway. I mean, like
subway.
Is it like comparable to Seoul, or is it you don't have to have a car, but your lifestyle is going to kind of blow?
Sorry, repeat the question.
If you don't have a car in Toronto, how different is it from not having a car in Seoul? Like, do you have to get up an hour early for work, or?
Not really. I mean, if your job's on the subway line, then it's pretty easy to survive, you know. So yeah, but yeah, but you know, the subway doesn't go everywhere in Toronto where you need it to go these days. So
you'd have to like carefully plan where you lived and worked then.
Pretty much, yeah.
But exactly. Then you're gonna have to get a car.
Yeah, Louisiana's got.
Oh yeah.
I mean, technically there is a bus system in Baton Rouge now. I think it's around $4 a ride.
Right.
But it only goes in like the really bad parts of town. Like that's how you know it's a bad part of town. It has a bus service. There.
Can't you just take a bass boat everywhere?
No. I've got a skiff.
Okay. All right. All right, that's our show. Jennifer Cotisol, what's coming up? I guess next month, October.
October, the international conference will be held the last weekend, I want to say the 28th and 29th, but whatever the last Friday, the last Saturday and Sunday of the month is.
Okay.
It'll be at Soongmyeong Women's University.
Okay.
I think pre-registration runs to the end of this week.
Okay.
And you do save, you save a lot of time if you pre-register because there's a special line to get in faster.
Okay.
It's a great deal. It's 2 days of all kinds of workshops with, you know, internationally known writers and presenters. And you get all kinds of free stuff if you go to the publishers.
2 days of love and peace.
Yeah. It's a really good opportunity to find out what's going on in the industry.
Oh, where is that being held?
Soongmyeong Women's University.
Same location.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. You're not having it out in a farmer's field?
No. It's on the blue line. It's one stop from Samgakji, which is very close to Itaewon, conveniently located.
Good. And next week we have the Temple of 1,000 Dogs holiday.
Is that what that holiday is?
Gei Chun Zhou.
Gei Chun Zhou.
Gei Dog Chun Thousand Zhou. Temple. Yeah. Temple of 1,000 Dogs.
Okay, but okay.
Or you could read it Sky Opening Day. I don't know. But I think if you do it straight Korean, then it's Temple of 1,000 Dogs. But if you use the Chinese words, then it's the correct meaning, like Sky Opening Day.
Sky opening.
Yeah. Oh, so this is when the sky is high and the horse is fat?
What?
So is this when the sky is high and the horse is fat?
I don't know. Is that a Louisiana reference?
No, that's a Korean thing.
Really? Okay, all right.
That's like fall time.
Okay. Oh. This is like their legend. This is their legendary foundation day. Where kind of like the sky god, Tangun, comes down. There's a bestiality element to it. Like,
oh, Tangun.
Yeah.
The tiger and the woman.
Yeah.
The tiger and the bear.
Tiger and the bear. And one of them became a woman.
And one of them, okay.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
yeah.
It's that day. It's a national holiday.
And it's a
holiday.
There's
a national holiday for everything. There's a national holiday for the day they lost a big fight.
Your kids are like, they got no clue what these days are.
No, I was asking because I always forget what all of them are. And so every year I'm like, what day is this? The kids are like, I don't know. And I'm like, do you not know the English name or do you not know
it in Korean?
And they're like, I don't know.
Wow. Do you guys have any plans for it? It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
I'm actually working.
You're working?
We voted on having this week off instead of taking midday off next week.
Oh, okay.
So that's better. Yeah. Because then you got two days off.
So you got all last week
off. So I got all of this last week off.
Super sweet.
Yeah.
Jennifer, you're getting the...
I think I'm going to relax and hibernate.
Okay. Nice. All right. Yeah. My boss is saying that we have to work that day.
Oh.
And I'm kind of like, because that's one of the red days, you know.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, I'm only working 4 days a week now. Like, I got these Fridays off. So it's not like it can really kvetch. I'm like, all right, no problems. And
if you make me work Wednesday, I'm not coming in Friday, no matter what you say.
Yeah. So then my boss points out that, like, oh, well, next week we're starting it's the end of the semester. And so we actually don't have any classes Thursday or Friday. So this is why we're working on a Wednesday.
So you will only be working 3 days a week?
Next week.
Well, the
following week?
Yeah, so next week I'm going to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but no class Thursday, Friday. So I think I'm going to go in on Thursday. I got some prep work to do for the next semester. And So yeah, so basically my day off instead of the Wednesday will be the Friday, so I get a 3-day
Carl,
weekend.
I want your job.
Well, you know what?
If I knew where you lived, I might like sneak in and kill you in your sleep so I could get your job.
You know, I signed my new contract. It took them a while to get that new contract signed. And again, I got to point out, if you know there's something important coming up, that your school's got to do something, contract renewal, get you papers for your alien resident card, whatever, start working on them a couple months ahead of time.
At least.
Yeah. Give yourself a lot of time because for some reason they need it.
The last minute is the only minute.
You've had this experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got threatened with immigration at the exit point, leaving to go get a new contract, a new visa. The guy threatened to prevent me from re-entering and also was thinking about charging me the $100,000 a day fee, or the fine, right, if you overstay your visa, because I was 1 month out of status.
Wow.
Because my new school had decided not to send us to Japan until we were actually ready to start.
Yeah.
And after they had us leave our previous job 1 month early to go work there, they then decided they didn't need us for that month. And so they just didn't get the paperwork done until the day we started.
All right.
So
but I eventually got them to sign the contract. And next month, I think my work schedule is going to be comparable to this month, 4 days a week. I don't know. Maybe doing those listening classes.
Sure.
You can see the what I have to prepare, the handouts on the back of our little agenda here. Reusing paper. I'm environmentally friendly.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Why I use a handkerchief, you know. Not because I'm an old man, because it's environmentally friendly, Rosa. Anyway, so, yeah. But, so, I'm in with the boss, and I'm signing a new contract, and my rate of pay has gone up $100 a month. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, you know, if I'm not signing for the whole year, I'm only signing on for a few more months, and I'm only working 4 days a week and only a few hours a day. Like you don't have to pay me more money. Like, what are you people doing? And she's like, oh, no, that's okay.
All right. Okay. Don't complain. Right.
So, yeah. So somehow, you know, they're paying me an extra $100 a month.
Wow.
For Slack. I don't know why they do this to me. How I've got this life. Seems to be the story of my career ever since I hit age 30. It's like, we're going to pay you more money to do less. How about that? All right.
Nice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, you get your foot in the door, you work hard when you're in your 20s, and then you'll enjoy this kind of life. Because people are always accusing me, Carl, you have way too much time on your hands. And I'm like, I would just like to think that I've worked smart and hard and I've earned this time. It's not
there
that,
you go.
Yeah. It's not that I'm slacking off. People are just giving me this time. I don't know why. All right. So that's our show. Send us email at gokorea@gmail.com, www.gokorea.info. Any last words?
Nope.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.